We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
My alma mater, the University of Florida, got their biggest win of the season last night. They haven't had a win like this. They went to LSU. LSU ranked number 13 in the country. 11-1 in SEC play, tied for first with Kentucky and Tennessee, and they won in overtime. I'm feeling great about my alma mater's chances right now to make the big dance. I wanted to share this with you. There are some odds out for some of the big early games of the year in 2019 in college football. And the numbers really jump off the page at you. They really, really do. I've got in front of me here, it looks like 12 games. LSU is favored by 8 over Texas, which is surprising because Texas just pounded Georgia, right? Georgia was better than LSU last year. So heading into next season, Texas, despite having one of the best quarterbacks in the country, is an underdog by 8 to the LSU Tigers. Georgia's favored by 10.5 over Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a playoff team. Georgia did not get in. Georgia's favored by double digits. Ohio State minus 18 against Cincinnati. No surprise there. Oklahoma favored by 12 at UCLA. Florida State is favored by 5.5 against Boise State. That's a game Boise State could easily win. They're never going to have the talent that Florida State does, but Florida State is the most undisciplined team in the nation under Willie Taggart. Auburn is favored by 1.5 over Oregon. That seems like an easy play for Auburn from my standpoint. This is a massive line here, a massive line. Clemson, favored by 3 touchdowns against Texas A&M. Three touchdowns. Texas A&M pounded NC State in their bowl game. Texas A&M is a really good team with Jimbo Fisher in year 2 there. Clemson's not winning that game by 21 points. I can promise you that
now. I hate to say this, but I agree with the line, and you're actually throwing NC State in there? Come on. Clemson is so much better than
NC
State.
No, but Texas A&M destroyed NC State in similar fashion to what Clemson would do to them. But Texas A&M is a really good team. They might be a top 10 team this year. You're not beating them by 3 touchdowns. That's not going to happen. Michigan favored by 28 against Army. Penn State minus 7.5 against Pitt. Stanford, an early 3-point favorite over everyone's darling that I hate, UCF. Florida, minus 8.5, favored by 8.5 against Miami to start the year. I love that Florida's getting Miami when they're down right now. And then Washington State is favored by 14 over Houston. So some key lines to some big games to start the year. The lines are out, and I think they are really, really interesting. I was able to hit on 60% of my bets against the spread on college football this year. So I don't want you to hold me to that, because you can have good years and you can have bad years. But suffice it to say, I made myself a little bit of coin on the college football games this year. The other thing I wanted to get to, and isn't this really juicy? Oh my goodness gracious, don't you love rumors when it can completely shake up the balance of power in your favorite sports league? I was listening to a national radio show in which the host said that he has on good authority from agents that Russell Wilson has met with the Seattle Seahawks and has expressed an interest in no longer playing for the Seattle Seahawks and in playing for the New York Giants. Now, remember, he's married to Ciara, right? I hope that I'm saying that right. He's married to Ciara, musician. She has a lot of interest in New York. Russell Wilson would love to be able to play in New York. The marketing ability, the ability to be closer to his wife a greater percentage of the time during the season. Seattle really hasn't done a lot in terms of putting much around him. And the New York Giants have been struggling to find a replacement for Eli Manning for years now. They keep trotting out Eli Manning to play when he hasn't been a good quarterback in quite some time. He has fallen off precipitously in terms of his play. And you've got a guy like Saquon Barkley on your team. You don't want to waste any of his years. Russell Wilson is absolutely still in his prime as a quarterback. He is the only reason that Seattle is competitive, right? So can you imagine if I have on good authority that this rumor is in fact true, that this does in fact have legs. Russell Wilson has gone to Seahawks management and expressed a desire to play for the New York Giants. That is not a prediction that this is going to happen, okay? But it is something that I can tell you because I did a little bit of digging on it after I heard this. This is something that is not very well known that did in fact happen in the last week in the NFL. Russell Wilson met with Pete Carroll. He met with Seahawks brass, and he let them know that he would love to play for the New York Giants. Breaking rumors right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. Lots of good stuff still coming your way there. And Lonzo, there's no doubt about it that that would completely shake up the balance of power. That would get the New York Giants back to a competitive level overnight. And, it would be the death blow for the Seattle Seahawks, because what would they be without Russell Wilson? He's one of those guys, you know, I told you when we started here, if I get to draft any player in the entire NFL to start my team, if you say you can have any one player you want in the NFL, I'm taking Russell Wilson. And I realize Pat Mahomes is there. You're not going to draft Tom Brady because he's old, right? You're starting a new team. You're not going to draft Aaron Rodgers because he's old. But Russell Wilson is my guy. It's his moxie. It's his confidence. It's his leadership that attracts me to him more than anything. And he's also got all the ability in the world. Can you imagine for a moment Russell Wilson paired with Saquon Barkley and OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., on that particular Giants team? That, my friends, would be something to behold.
Aren't you worried about this, though? Because this seems to be the mentality that the NFL is trying to do what the NBA is doing, where players are deciding where they want to go. I mean, you got Antonio Brown saying he wants to go to San Francisco. Now you supposedly have Russell Wilson wanting to go to the Giants. And the other thing about it sounds so far-fetched that someone would want to go to the Giants. It would be weirder if he wanted to go to the Jets. I get it, though. Playing with OBJ and playing with Saquon Barkley, he's a beast. And so maybe he's thinking he goes there and he gets to play in a system like he used to have when he had a really good running back and a really good receiver. But what about the Giants' defense? I'm not so sure about that. But do you think they'll actually allow this to happen?
I also want to mention the fact that, I think it'll happen? I think Seattle's going to do everything in their power to talk Russell Wilson out of that. But I do know that there is a tremendous amount of validity to that. Just like another rumor, there's a tremendous amount of validity to Kevin Durant being interested in starting his own team and playing for the New York Knicks. If you're Russell Wilson, I mean, you get to play in the biggest media market of the world. You get to be where your wife wants to be. Happy wife, happy life, right? You've really done everything you can for the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, what else can he do for that team? He had that really unfortunate interception when they were about to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl a few years ago. That was one of the most heartbreaking ways to lose a Super Bowl you could ever imagine. But he's one of the best players in the game. He's the player that I would take number one overall in a draft of every player in the league. And this is one of those rumors that when you see it, it stops you in your tracks. It really completely catches you off guard because you never considered it before. You never considered that Russell would ever want to leave Seattle. But when you start looking at it, it makes a ton of sense. You know, there's another guy out there that has become a restricted free agent today, and he rubbed salt in the wound on Pittsburgh by tweeting today that he's finally free. And, of course, I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell, the former Pittsburgh Steelers running back that sat out the entire season, who got fat and happy and who is now a free agent. The guys on PTI, Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, discussed Le'Veon Bell's impending free agency.
Said, The club will not slap the franchise tag on Bell and will simply let him walk into free agency. Word is he wants in the neighborhood of $50 million for the first 2 years. After sitting out an entire season, Tony, do you think Bell will ultimately get what he wants?
There is going to be a frenzy for him because he's healthy. He sat out a whole year and he's raring to go, and I understand that. $50 million for two, I don't think so. I mean, the Todd Gurley range is $15 million a year.
Remember, you're looking at maybe a four-year deal, and they're going to front load, and it's going to be a signing bonus.
Well, I'm saying to you that Todd Gurley, whatever Ezekiel Elliott's going to get the next time or something like that, but if you're going to try to break the bank like Manny Machado, no, I don't think he's going to get that, Mike, because the most replaceable skill position in all of football's running back. And that's why Pittsburgh said, we're good, you can go.
You know what's been interesting, Tony, as NBA salaries have just spiked, particularly that summer of 2016, is you see so many NFL players who are just outwardly jealous
of the amount of money.
And part of these things with these holdouts and this what I want and I don't want to be franchised has to do with looking at their basketball brethren. But they are so replaceable, and the basketball guys are not.
They're not.
So Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are great players.
And as is always the case in pro football,
they are replaceable.
And they're gone.
They might be replaceable by October. The Steelers already have a running back. They've moved from Le'Veon Bell.
Here's what we know to be true. There's no Emmitt Smith anymore. There's no Barry Sanders. There's nobody with a 10 to 12 year career that's totally who right now has a 10 to 12 year career running back.
I'm thinking
somebody get in my ear if I'm wrong, but that's why they're able to say we'll give you big money for the first year.
Frank Gore's at least 10 years.
Mike, Frank Gore averages like 3.5 yards a catch.
Adrian Peterson.
I'll tell you what, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown have really done damage to their reputations. You know, Le'Veon Bell, if you're going to skip out on the whole season, don't post anything and lay low. I remember nothing except Le'Veon Bell partying on Instagram the entire season while his teammates are struggling without him. That's a bad look, and he's out of shape right now, and he's trying to make up for the money that he lost with his contract, and there's just no way that's going to happen. A check on Twitter, JCP22 says, how beneficial is one season under Coach K? One semester of elite education is valuable. Again, one semester of college experience isn't the same as 4 to 6 years as a regular student. 1 year of coaching under Coach K is very valuable, sir. And you finish 1 year of school, you can graduate in three. He might be one third of the way done. I think that's a very valuable thing. Hockey Mom Summer says, I agree with you. Zion is an athlete and committed to receiving a top-notch education. He needs to finish this year. Chris Marshall says, I agree. I think he should stay. Look at this as a trial, an obstacle that can make him even stronger as a player and a person, 100%. Hockey Mom Summer says, Giants fans be like, please, Lord, anyone but Manning. And they're done with that guy. I mean, that is a relationship that has run its course that is absolutely positively over right now. You have a chance to get Russell Wilson. You change the fortunes of your team overnight. All right, coming up next, we do it each and every week at this particular time. We have our blog segment of the week with Michael Venditti. Am I saying that right?
That'll work.
All right. Diddy joins us up next. He's changing his tune on LeBron James, and we're going to learn why right after this. You're listening to Offsides. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. As proof that some of the best conversations happened during the break, Diddy brought up the most historic wardrobe malfunction of all time, one that involved many, many impure and dirty thoughts on his part. This is part of the discussion that he wishes I wouldn't say. But you mentioned the best wardrobe malfunction ever, Diddy, as Diddy joins us for our weekly blog segment. And that wardrobe malfunction was what?
I mean, it had to be Janet Jackson. I mean, it was the first time we used the terminology,
about
by the way,
it.
Too. It invented wardrobe malfunction. We didn't know what that wasn't a thing before the
There's
Janet
no
Jackson
doubt about
mishap.
That.
Yeah. Plus, it's the advent of TiVo back then. That was the beginning ages of having a television with TiVo, being able to rewind, and obviously as a college student in an apartment full of college kids, we were around quite often.
See, I'm sitting over here. I thought you said Tebow, and I'm like, what the heck does Tebow have to do
with
that?
Tebow was around in those days
as well. So is Janet Jackson in possession of a nice breast?
mean, it was a little grainy. Still, the early, there was no HD television yet, so we didn't get a good look. But you know, I guess I don't know. You have to ask her exes. She's got like 17.
It's been a few years too. Things tend to go
that,
places.
You know, that was such a moment of shock and awe. Everyone was like, "What just happened?
Yeah.
Did I see what I think I just saw?"
And how early it was on in TiVo. This is what tells you. We literally sat there for about 5-10 minutes before we said, "Oh man, we can go back and see." Like we were like talking about it. Like, did that just happen? Did we just really? Is that really? Oh crap! We can see it again. Let's hit rewind, and we went back a few times.
That is incredible, incredible indeed. That was absolutely done on purpose. Everybody knows it was done on purpose. And I thought that was great live television. Any chance you have to stick it to the Shields, I love that. And Timberlake and Janet Jackson did that in a major, major way. All right, Diddy, we do this each and every week at this particular time. It is our blog segment of the week, and what is going on today?
I'm kind of, and Lonzo's not going to like this. I'm starting to turn against LeBron James. And it's got probably a little bit to do with the fact that I am a Sacramento Kings homer. The only one east of the Mississippi. That's me. But it's just getting old with the comments. And something he said last night just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Because this isn't the Cavs and the Heat. This isn't a team full of stars that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no questions asked, it's going to be a 1-4 seed. They're getting into the playoffs regardless of how hard they try. But for him to sit there with 25 games left on a team that is at best a 12 seed without him on the floor and mediocre with him on the floor and say that he's just now turning on his intensity to get to the playoffs and then trying to make it seem like, well, if we do it now, I'd rather do it later so it could carry into a playoff run. LeBron, there's no playoff run. Your team is bad and they will get swept regardless if they make the first round or not. So right now is not the time to be putting on intensity. It should have been on from day one, because you knew this team was not good. And without you, they're not a playoff team. So to prove something, you're waiting till a third of the season is left to turn it on?
Yeah, he's going zero dark 30. He's shutting off social media. He's in full playoff mode. And here's what you don't know, Diddy. I have two wagers on this.
Yeah.
Lonzo has bet me a stake. And if he wins, I've got to do some kind of lame wrestling segment.
No. You're not involved in the wrestling segment. Okay. You get to sit there and watch me do it.
Okay, I got to do some lame. I got to let him do some lame wrestling segment if the Lakers make the postseason. Mm-hmm. And we had a caller, Neil, that said not only would the Lakers make the postseason, they'd make the conference finals.
What?
And the Warriors will not win the NBA title. And all I need to do is win one of those two. And Neil owes me whatever I want.
Ooh.
Whatever I want.
It's a heavy wager.
And you look at the standings today, the Lakers are 3 games back. Mm-hmm. They're 2 games back in the loss column. And this is they host the Rockets tonight. This is a bad team. And this is a bad team because of bad drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And Magic Johnson is a part of that, right? You take Lonzo Ball over Jason Tatum.
Yep.
Explain that one to me.
There's no explanation for that.
Right? I don't have the list in front of me, but I imagine Brandon Ingram was also selected ahead of some very, very good players in that year's draft class. I know he was selected to have Jaylen Brown also on the Boston Celtics. So this is the reason why they don't have Anthony Davis on the team right now is a failure of themselves via the draft, because with top 2 picks, with top 5 picks, they should have enough to get that deal done. Mm-hmm. And the New Orleans said thanks, but no thanks, because they weren't getting back anything but B or C players.
Exactly.
I get you how it's kind of irritating that LeBron is going to turn this on. He's putting the bullseye on his back. He's putting pressure on himself by saying this. But we've seen him do this, Diddy, time and time again, where he wills his team to do great things.
And that's fine. And it makes sense when he cruise controls a regular season that has become pretty meaningless overall if you're not at 8-7 seed. You know, 7-10 are all fighting for something late. Nobody else really is, except for jockeying for position. But really, because of what LeBron's done, because of the super team era, a lot of these teams coast into the playoffs because they know when they turn it on, they're the best teams in the league. He doesn't have that anymore. That's what makes it so frustrating. It's not the Heat putting it on cruise control and still winning the majority of their basketball games and giving their fans something to watch. It's a bad basketball team that is beyond bad with him not on the floor, and he's now putting it on. That's what's aggravating about it and why it's different for me from past years when he took teams of all-stars and then put him over the hump to where, yeah, maybe that Cavs team should have lost to Boston, but he made them not lose to Boston. That's a conference championship part of the season. That's not the last third of the season with a team fighting for the eighth seed.
When he went out for injury, they were either the four seed or the five seed in the West, and they were playing pretty good basketball when he went down with injury. and then without LeBron, they completely fell apart, right? And now LeBron is back, and you know they have 2 months left in the season, a shade under 2 months left in the season right now. You know, they have a shot to make the postseason. But the question is, will they do that? Lonzo, let's go around the room here. Has your tune changed in terms of the Lakers making the playoffs? Are they going to get in?
Yeah, they're going to get in.
Because to this, Homer.
Here's the thing. Call me whatever you want. Obviously, it's true. I believe in LeBron until it gives me reason not to. I've seen him take worse teams to I get it. He was in the East at the time, but I've seen him take worse teams, put them on his back, and make it into the playoffs. They're not going to do anything once they get in the playoffs, but I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
The Lakers right now have 25 games remaining, 25 games left in their season.
Below 500.
They're 28-29. They're two games back of the LA Clippers. The LA Clippers traded a lot of their ammunition away. The Sacramento Kings, I mean, that's an exciting story. I mean, how bad they've been for a number of years. De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein and company, you know, really, really picking up their level of play. They're not going to be easy to get by. I'd feel better about my odds of winning this bet if I felt like, you know, if San Antonio was the eighth seed and I knew San Antonio was fighting for it. But San Antonio is up ahead in seven. And then you look at the five through eight. You've got four teams separated by three games, and the Lakers are just two games behind those particular teams. 15-10 over the remaining 25 games, a 600 winning percentage just might get it done. Just might get them in the postseason, you know? But I think here's what we've seen this year, and here's what we've learned. LeBron is no longer capable of doing what he did in Cleveland. He cannot take the Island of Misfit Toys as teammates anymore and lead them to the promised land. That I think he's past that point of his career. I would argue that this Lakers team is significantly more talented than one or more of the teams that LeBron brought to the finals in Cleveland. There was a period of time when Larry Hughes and Daniel Booby Gibson were the second best players on that particular team, and I think this Lakers team has more talent than that. I just think LeBron is no longer at that place, and it is time to ask a very serious question about this. Is LeBron's reign as the best player in basketball over? Is it coming to an end?
I don't think we can go there because his stats are still at or above his career average. He's averaging right now, I think, more rebounds and assists than his career average and right around the same points per game. So it's not like his game's falling off. It's just that now his Island of Misfit Toys is in the Western Conference. You can't take this team to the finals in the Western Conference. He might get a 5-6-7 seed if this Lakers team's playing in the East.
Perhaps he might get that, but the East is, I think, better than it's ever been. I mean, if I'm
still
giving you my
top heavy though, you have below 500 teams in the playoffs right now.
If I'm giving you my power rankings of the top five teams in the NBA, Golden State's one, but then the next four teams for me come from the East. I would say Milwaukee, Toronto, probably Philadelphia, then Boston round out my top five teams in the NBA. Yeah. I don't see any team in the West that gives the Warriors a run for their money, including the Lakers. And I think they get a series when they make it to the finals, and they kind of have a shock to the system because they haven't played anybody as good as what the East has to offer now. I love seeing the balance of power kind of change. Look, the Warriors are going to be great. And I think they will be great with or without Kevin Durant if they keep the rest of that core together. I don't know if you'll see 73-9 again, but I think you'll see a team that can win the NBA Finals if Klay comes back, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and the rest of that unit. That's still a great basketball team. But the East has gotten really, really good. Chris Middleton and his ascension in Milwaukee, Kawhi Leonard on Toronto, Indiana finding a way to win, and we don't even know how they're doing that, right? Boston, with perhaps the most talent on paper of any team in the NBA, and then Philadelphia trading for Jimmy Butler, trading for Tobias Harris in the middle of the season, really, really bolstering their case to make a run at it. Who do you like in the East, Diddy? I mean, I think the East, you know, I think Indiana's going to be knocked out in the second round, but I think it's going to be fascinating to watch those four, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia, duke it out for the title of the best in the East. I think that's going to be fascinating basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now I almost have to give most edge to the Raptors. The one thing that's been in their way the last 4 or 5 years is LeBron James and the Cavaliers. That's gone. That's not a problem anymore. That's their monkey on their back that they can get rid of this year, not having to go up against it. They've dominated those other teams in the past, in recent past, in the playoffs. So I think that they can make it happen. Obviously not the same team completely with the trades, but they're still playing at that top level, and I think they can make it happen. I don't have much faith in Boston because of their issues inside the house. I think that's a big problem, and we'll see them, I think, maybe become a better basketball team next season when they sort out whatever they're going to sort out and trade whoever they're going to trade and make things peaceful again. Obviously, we saw them play to an insane level last year without their superstars, so maybe they don't need so much superstar power on that roster. But I would say probably Toronto or maybe Philly, because I think Philly can turn it on, and when they start clicking, it's going to be something to see.
All right, Diddy, where can we see your work? Where can we read this blog?
Blog is at ESPNupstate.radio.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Diddy33, at DITTI33.
Always a lot of good stuff, big opinions, really good stuff on the website. We appreciate you so much, Diddy, and thank you so much for joining us as always, my friend.
Thanks for coming to get me.
Really? Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. That was fun. A little scavenger hunt for Lonzo with 2 minutes to go here today. All right, coming up next, it is my number one pet peeve. So why, oh why, are so many teams in professional sports guilty of it? That's next. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you on a Friday Eve edition of the program. Finally, the weather seems to be taking a turn for the better. And I know people tell me we probably got one more of these stretches left in us. But right now it is 63 degrees in Greenville. Damn it. Saturday, it looks like another high of 49 on Saturday. I thought we were done with that. But after that, oh, yes. Oh, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight days of highs in the 60s. And the seventh day is high of 57, but sunny. You guys just, man, I'm telling you what, my sinuses are dying a slow death with all of these weather changes out here, man. And today, it just kind of hit the fan for me. You know, today, I'm just being completely honest with you, I'm dragging. I'm struggling just a little bit. Hopefully you can't hear it in my voice, but it's been rough. It's been rough in here. There's no doubt about that. All right. We've got the top three at three coming up. We have Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. Does the brackets for CBS Sports? Is Clemson in? Are Wofford and Furman, in fact, the two best teams in the state of South Carolina? They're playing this particular weekend. What should Zion Williamson do? Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, set to be joining us at 3:20 this afternoon. So the tease before the break was the following. It's my number one pet peeve, so why, oh why, oh why, are so many teams in professional sports guilty of it? And my number one pet peeve in life, ladies and gentlemen, get to bring you a little bit, to let you know who I am a little bit, I can't stand wasting time. I can't stand the sensation of wasting time. Anytime in my life I've had a date with somebody, if I see or sense a deal breaker at the beginning of the date, there is no second date. Even if she's hot, even if I feel attracted to her, if there's a deal breaker, it's over, because I'm not about wasting time. If ultimately the relationship would end, and for me, like smoking, drugs, those kinds of things are deal breakers. A lot of cursing on the first date is kind of a turn off to me as well, right? If you make a big effort to look nice and she's wearing flip-flops, that's not really the best look in the world. But number one to me above all else is a waste of time. I can't stand it, okay? Time has been called our most valuable resource, right? When your team earns your resources, they earn your time and your money. Time is money. You've heard that saying, right? Time is money. You're giving Clemson money when they deliver an elite product to you, and South Carolina is getting less money because they're not delivering the product to the Gamecocks Nation that Clemson is delivering to their fans, right? So it's also, if you look at the love languages here, and I'm this is something that maybe a lot of the women can relate to, but not so much the men. The love languages are words of affirmation, touch, quality time, acts of service, and gifts. Now, Lonzo, you get to pick two, okay? Everybody has two preeminent love languages. What are your two? I already know words of affirmation isn't one of them, because whenever I give you affirmations, you say, stop telling me nice things. I'd rather have you yell at me, all right? So words of affirmation, touch, quality time, acts of service. Acts of service would be like you come home and you got a surprise meal made for you. You come home and the laundry's done. Something, you know, that's an act of service. And gifts. Gifts is the last, G-I-F-T-S. Gifts are the last love language. What is Lonzo Reitzel's? What are Lonzo Reitzel's two love languages?
Touch and time.
Touch and time.
Yes.
Are your two love languages. I'm not going to touch you, Lonzo. I'm very sorry to share that with you. Mine.
Would you make some time for me?
I will. I absolutely will do that. Mine are words of affirmation and touch, right? I was a kid growing up. At the end of my freshman year of high school, I was 5'3", 103 pounds. I got pushed down the stairs a lot. I got bullied a lot. Guys like Lonzo used to bully me when I was younger, right? And only when I got older, now I always look like I was 7 years younger than my actual age. Only when you're 41 is it finally cool to look like you're 34. This is the only time in my life where this was a positive thing, right? But for me personally, my two love languages are words of affirmation, because having been bullied, it's nice to hear nice things, and touch as well. Those are my two. But the number one most selected love language by people, by women and men alike, is time. It's quality time spent. That is the number one love language. And you know, now it's also my, wasting time is also my number one pet peeve. How many times have you heard recently in sports, a sports team say, or a sports fan base say, we're wasting this guy's best years. We're wasting time. We're wasting this player. We're wasting precious time with this particular player. Folks, there is nothing at all that is more frustrating as a sports fan than to have an elite player and feel like you're just wasting time because your team isn't developing the player, the other players on the team, isn't investing in making that team better, isn't investing in making that team great. I don't think the Houston Texans are there yet with Deshaun Watson, but if they lay another egg this year, if they fail to do much of anything in the playoffs again this year, you're going to start to hear in Houston, Texas, channeling the, you know, discussing the former Clemson Tiger, we're wasting time with Deshaun Watson. We're wasting the best quarterback that we ever had. In my professional opinion, okay, what I've done here is I've put together a list of teams that I believe are wasting prime years of star players, okay? Here is my list of fan bases that are incredibly frustrated because they have an elite talent on the roster and they're not doing a damn thing about it. Number one for me, the Lakers with LeBron James, okay? LeBron doesn't have years to waste anymore. Right, he doesn't have years to waste. He's 34 years old right now. They're, you know, the Lakers have to contend this year because it's just a wasted year if you don't. He's not 29 anymore. He doesn't have years to build this thing up. The Lakers have to be good, and they have to be good now. And if they're not going to make the playoffs next season, they damn sure better contend for a title next season. The Lakers with LeBron. How about also the Portland Trailblazers with Damian Lillard? They're always kind of the same team. Have you noticed that? They're always the fourth or fifth seed or the third seed, and they never do anything in the postseason. And they've got a really special young player. The Rockets with James Harden is another one that comes to mind. MVP caliber player. He has scored 30 points in the greatest number of consecutive games in NBA history. And they don't have enough around him. He's having to play hero ball. He's having to go 1-on-5 every single time down the court. He's talking to Steph Curry during the All-Star break and telling Steph Curry, that he'd rather play in a system that had better ball movement than what Houston is doing. How about, here's a good one, Major League Baseball, the LA Angels with Mike Trout. If you're an Angels fan, don't you feel like, to the nth degree, you're wasting the best years of Mike Trout? I mean, what, I'm pretty sure you could be a mediocre team without Mike Trout, right? I mean, what exactly are you doing to capitalize on the prime years of the best player in the sport? Other names on my list. The Giants with Saquon Barkley. Only a rookie this year, but a special rookie. The Bears with Khalil Mack. Made the playoffs, screwed the pooch in the playoffs, right? You've got the best defensive player in the National Football League, not named Aaron Donald. The Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Again, how many more elite seasons from Aaron Rodgers do you have? Okay, and how many consecutive years have the Packers been somewhat mediocre with Aaron Rodgers? The Colts with Andrew Luck are on this list. Now, I know Andrew had some injuries. He suffered some injuries, and he's been slow to come back. But you can't go the entire career of Andrew Luck and not do anything worth a damn to get him into the Super Bowl. You've got a franchise quarterback that you replaced one of the best ever in Peyton Manning with. How about the Falcons with Julio Jones? The biggest athletic freak at the wide receiver position. Completely wasting time with him. Not contending, not competing. Julio Jones may actually be leaving his prime right now, and you have nothing to show for the time that Julio Jones has been there. The Saints with Drew Brees. Oh my gosh, they were right there. They were right there. They were oh so close. But isn't Drew Brees better than just having one Super Bowl to his name? Isn't he better than that? How about the Broncos with Von Miller? The best pure pass rusher in the National Football League. The very, very best pass rusher in the game today. And he's stuck in mediocrity on a team with no quarterback, with a GM and president who was one of the best quarterbacks who's ever played the game in John Elway, but doesn't seem to be able to get a great quarterback on that particular team. By the way, Case Keenum was shocked at the Joe Flacco trade. And Case Keenum's numbers mirror Joe Flacco's since Case Keenum came into the league. And John Elway traded for a mediocre Joe Flacco anyway. And of course, and you've heard him, you heard the big rumor in hour number two here today. What am I going to say, Lonzo? The Seahawks with Russell Wilson. The Seahawks are wasting, in my opinion, some of the best years of Russell Wilson. They're wasting that time with him. And I think that's got to be just incredibly frustrating. In my opinion, folks, there is no more frustrating thing in sports than to be wasting the prime years of truly special players. The Chicago Cubs with Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. You don't want to waste those years. You know, when those guys leave, you're not going to have talents like that come through again. Perhaps, you know, my favorite on the list is the Angels with Mike Trout, just because he's the best player in the game, and he's almost forgotten out there on the West Coast. They never do anything with him. They never make it anywhere. And, you know, and he's wasting away out there. His career is wasting away without his team going to the promised land. So there you have it. It's my number one pet peeve in my life, wasting time. It's your number one pet peeve in terms of your teams with star players. Can you imagine, Clemson fans, if you had Trevor Lawrence and never won a national championship with him? Can you imagine how that would feel to you, right? I think South Carolina fans are feeling that way with Deebo Samuel. How did we not do more for Deebo with Deebo when he was here? An unstoppable offensive weapon. All right, coming up next on the program, you look at the different divisions in the National Football League, and I think there is a surprise number one division overall, and I'll share that with you next. My name is Mark Ryan. You're listening to Offsides. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. Offsides with Mark Ryan. Great to have you guys with us here on a Friday Eve edition of the show. A check on Twitter. I had tweeted, to the Zion's played his last minute at Duke crowd, to everyone who thinks he shouldn't play anymore. When you make a commitment to someone or something, Duke basketball, is it important to you to see that through in your life? Do you finish what you start? The NBA will always be there, and there's so much more to life than that. To that tweet, at Roz Ejet says, this is bleeping stupid. Thank you, Roz Ejet. I appreciate the constructive critique there. Jeremy Smith says, Coach K is the GOAT, and I agree with everything you said. Neil Pappas tweets in, I told you that Clemson did not deserve to be in 2 weeks ago during their incredible four-game winning streak. They beat one good team. And our Gators do not belong in there either. Yes, they do. They just beat LSU on the road. I would rather watch a mid-major get in than a team 500 with a 500 record in conference. Hockey Mom Summer also says her gut is telling her that the Warriors are not going to win the NBA championship. All right, let's get right to it. And Neil has been hanging patiently. Neil, we were talking in the last segment about my biggest pet peeve in life and why are so many teams guilty of it? Wasting time with special talents on your team. You join us right now, Neil. You're offsides. Go ahead, bud.
Just to let you know, Mark, that Neil Pappas, that is me. So whenever that guy chimes in, that is Gator Neil. So
there you go.
I wanted to talk about our bet really quick before I get to what you were just talking about.
Sure, you've lost.
I heard Diddy talking about
LeBron.
You've
lost. Yeah, you've lost, sir.
Listen, when I made the bet, obviously I say some stupid things sometimes. I did believe at the moment that the goal, and I still believe to this day, Golden State is not going to win the championship. I believe whoever comes out of the East is going to win because I agree with you. I think four of the five best teams are in the East, and I think whoever meets Golden State is going to beat them. When I said that about LeBron and the Lakers, obviously it comes down to matchups. Obviously they have to get in first, but I am a man of my word. But I want to present another challenge.
Time out here, Neil. Alonzo, do you hear that noise? Do you hear? Hey, hang on. It's very faint, but it's coming in clearly here, Neil.
Boop, listen. Boop, boop, I want you to give boop, me a double or nothing boop. Kind of bet.
You're already acting like you lost the bet. You're acting like you already lost when the result hasn't been seen yet.
I'm not feeling too good about that side of the bet. I still feel good about the Warriors not winning, but I'm not feeling too good about the Lakers.
This is weak sauce,
so,
Neil. This is weak.
Give me a double or nothing, Mark.
No.
And the double or nothing is this.
No.
I want you and I want Diddy in a 2-on-1. Now, Alonzo can appreciate this. This is going to be like a handicap match for all those wrestling fans. 2-on-1 against me in basketball. That's all I'm asking. A game of 21.
Oh, my God.
2-on-1.
No.
You can't beat that.
Listen, Neil. Listen. You are the king of horrible bets, okay? Yeah, this is another horrible bet. You would have less than zero chance of beating Diddy and I.
Wait. I hate to jump in here, but you're a band nerd, and Diddy is way out of shape. No offense, Diddy.
I haven't seen Neil, but Neil's got a good shot at it.
I beat you guys 99 out of 100 times for a game of 21.
Lonzo has no idea how good I used to be at basketball. He has no earthly idea, okay? Really good at basketball. Just because you play an instrument doesn't mean you're not good athletically. So, Neil, the answer, unfortunately, my friend, is no. We're going to play these bets out. You're going to take your losses on the chin here, my friend, and I'm going to enjoy something nice that I haven't even decided yet because I get whatever I want, dear sir. We're going to enjoy these wins coming from you, Neil. Neil, thanks for the call, bud. Do appreciate it very, 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 very much. He's already acting like he's lost the bet. That's hilarious to me. All right? Absolutely hilarious. All right, coming up next, it's the top three at three. There was a tragedy last night in the Northeast that, for some reason, nobody's talking about. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.